We have an exciting lesson today, I think. This is one of the most wonderful truths. And as we talk about going deeper in the Lord and doing deeper truths, this is right up there at the top, I think. Abandoning ourselves and all our concerns fully on the Lord. Releasing everything to Him, including ourselves and every concern. So before we begin this time, let me open in prayer. Lord, we ask that it be your Spirit that open these deep truths to us. Stir our hearts, free us from fear. Excite us with the truths of who you are and all you desire to be to us. Lord, we thank you that you are who you say you are and you do not change. Each day, each moment, you are the same. Thank you that you know us. You know everything going on in our lives. You care. Thank you that you are sovereign, that you are in control. Thank you that you do bid us to cast our anxieties on you and to give ourselves freely and wholly to you with abandon, and you will be faithful. Thank you that you are our good shepherd. We commit the time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. I think this is one of the most exciting truths that I am aware of. It's freeing. It brings peace and joy. It frees us from worry, anxiety. He bids us to abandon ourselves to Him. Now, saints down through the ages have discovered this truth and have written about it. I mean, here a classic, Jean-Pierre de Caussade wrote, Abandonment to Divine Providence. And he talks through this whole book of abandoning ourselves to the Lord because He's trustworthy. Madame Guyon, who we'll be looking at next week, Judy Dunnigan, the women's ministry director for Woodman Valley, will be with us. We'll have a treat hearing from her next week. And she will be talking on one of the aspects, Jean Guyon, whom the Lord has used powerfully in my life. And St. Francis of Sales, they talk about abandoning ourselves to the Lord. And we saw in our lesson, Hannah Whitall Smith, Oswald Chambers, in the appendix, it gives all the pages for these different topics that is included in his devotional. And abandonment has all these pages. It's a very freeing, exciting truth. Sometimes, though, we can miss out on how the Lord desires to care for us because we're caring for ourselves. We're in charge. We're in control. You've heard me say, perhaps, that we give the Lord our lives, then we take back our days. We're the ones in charge, and we can miss out. I met a couple weeks ago with a gal who was sharing with me her anxieties and her concerns. She and her husband are both in places of thinking of job changes and are wondering what is next and where should they go and should they move and should they quit and should they get different jobs. And her anxiety level was, off the charts. She said it always has been. She's been a worrier. She's always felt like it's up to her to figure things out. And then to make things happen. And then she would worry, well, is there something I haven't thought about to worry about? She'd worry about that. That creates stress when we think it's up to us. Not that we're not capable people, not that we're not intelligent, but God says his ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts often are not our thoughts. He desires to care for us and lead us in the ways that he has prepared. We're a part, as we've talked, of a bigger picture. Our lives are not just about us. So it's his desire, and he delights when we give him control. Oswald Chambers actually says in his book, My Utmost for His Highest, is that worry is sin. He says, it is not only wrong to worry, it is infidelity. Because worrying means that we do not think that God can look after the practical details of our lives. Is he that big? He concludes, the great word of Jesus to his disciples is abandon. Abandon ourselves to him and his care. He is that big. And he gets bigger and bigger in our experience as we abandon ourselves and our concerns to him. Then we allow him to be all that he is. And we see him in the practical details of our days each day. And that thrills us. It delights us. And so then our joy in him increases. And then it becomes easier and easier to free him, to give to him, you know, more of our stuff. And it delights him when we do, because he desires to do this. He desires to be this to us. If you have felt there's something missing in your Christian life, if you want more and you have not experienced this abandon yet, this could hold the key for you. This is who God is and all that he desires to be to us. To care for every detail. We'll explore this in a little bit of depth today. But this can also be a scary thought. We like control. It feels good. We feel more secure when we're in control. Wow, to think about giving God control, that's kind of scary. Until we realize who he is. And then it becomes easier. Because he is trustworthy. He is good. He's faithful. He's sovereign. He fulfills his purposes. And we'll look at this. We have some examples in our lesson of people, two women, who abandoned themselves to the Lord without reserve. And the first one, the widow, who put the mite in the box, all that she had, it delighted Jesus. Showed her love for him, her trust. Do you think there would be any way that he would not be faithful to her? We don't have her name in Scripture, but Jesus knew who she was. He knew all about her. They were sitting there observing. But he knew her. He knew she was a widow. He knew she was poor. Knew she didn't have any other security. Knew that that mite that she put in the treasury was all she had. And it thrilled his heart. And it does today as we give him ourselves, our all, in that trust, in that love, in that abandon. Another woman that we looked at in our lesson, and I hope you had a chance to do it, is Hannah Whitall Smith. She lived primarily in the 1800s. And has written The Christian Secret to a Happy Life, for a Happy Life, a classic. She also wrote this devotional, God is Enough. She knew the truth of that. And this is who he desires to be for all of us. He is enough. She was cast on him because of a difficult marriage, a very painful marriage. Actually, her husband was a minister. He was a conference speaker. But sadly, one of those tragic circumstances or situations where behind closed doors, a different person. She experienced a lot of pain in that marriage for a variety of reasons. But she said that's what the Lord used to cast her more fully on him. And she found him sufficient and more than sufficient. He became her everything. She was filled with joy knowing him. And we're told in these classics and their discoveries that abandon leads to our just yielding to him and allowing him to do work in us that draws us into union with himself. We get closer and closer and closer to the Lord as we abandon ourselves to him, and she did. So she discovered all these deep truths of which she writes, and one of her favorite truths is that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And in your lesson, there were a lot of quotes from her about how he is our Good Shepherd. We have that the Lord himself proclaims this throughout Scripture. Psalm 23, perhaps one of the most familiar psalm. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." And David was a shepherd, so he knew what he was talking about. He took care of the sheep on the hill. He protected them against the predators, the wolves that were to devour and destroy. He took care of their needs. He led them to good pastures. And he says, this is what the Lord does for us. Psalm 100. It's proclaimed another familiar one where he said, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We are the sheep of his pasture." In Ezekiel, the Lord is talking about good shepherds and bad shepherds of his people. And he had set these people up, and he said, whoa, he was condemning the shepherds who were the bad shepherds. In Ezekiel 34, "Woe to you," he says, "who are not caring for my sheep. Woe to you who are just taking care of yourselves." He says, "You do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost." He says, "I will hold them accountable." The Lord was upset with these shepherds. But he says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. "I am the good shepherd. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will rescue them. I will pasture them on the mountain heights of Israel. I will tend them in a good pasture. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in rich pasture. I myself will tend my sheep. I will have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost. I will bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured. And I will strengthen the weak." Here we see the Lord's upset over bad shepherds. And yet sometimes we think he will be a bad shepherd He won't take care of me. He's condemning that here. And he's proclaiming that he is good and he will take care of his sheep. He has to be faithful. He can be no other way. That's why we can entrust ourselves to him. You've heard me say before, once in one of my struggles and I was questioning the Lord, and has he not been faithful? The Lord showed me and reminded me of, in Revelation, we have this picture of him at the end of time where he is being worshiped as worthy of worship. He's receiving the worship. He could not be worshiped as worthy. He could not receive worship if ever, if once, in the smallest way, he had not been faithful to one of his own. He wouldn't be worthy. But he is worthy. And we have that picture. So from the beginning of time to the end of the time, we know he's faithful. He's true. One day we'll understand things that we don't understand at this time. But Psalm 62:8 says, trust in the Lord at all times. He's trustworthy. So when we give him control, you know, we can trust him. He will be responsible. He covenants with us. I am your God. You are my people, the sheep of my pasture. I will care for you. In John 10, we're familiar with that passage where Jesus proclaims that, I am the good shepherd. He says, I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. He says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. That intimate. He knows us. One of my favorite passages when I was struggling one time, Lord brought me to Isaiah 40. And I've shared that before because it just was so powerful to me when I was doubting and questioning, is he aware? Does he care? Is he involved? Where is he? And he says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the ever-living God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. Why do you say, why do you complain, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. He says, look at who I am. He's faithful. He doesn't miss anything. When something happens, he doesn't say, oh no, now what am I going to do? He's gone before. He knows the end from the beginning. We'll see that how he says he makes provision for us. Jehovah Jireh, he who has gone before and sees the needs that will arise, has already made provision for them. We walk on prepared ground. God's been there. So though we might be surprised by something, he wasn't surprised. And he's taking care of us in the midst of it. He says, I am with you. Don't be afraid. So we look for his care in the midst of some hard things. We are his sheep. He is responsible for us. Sometimes we think that the order is reversed, that we're the shepherd. And I think it was Kathy Eskew a couple weeks ago said, you know, that we're the CEO and he's our support staff. And Hannah Whitall Smith, in her devotional here, speaks of this. She said, herein comes the difference between the sheep and us, real sheep. We are so much wiser than sheep in our own estimation, that we think the sort of trust sheep exercise will not do for us. In our superior intelligence, We presume to take matters into our own hands and so shut ourselves out from the shepherd's care. We're taking charge. We're doing it. Thank you very much. But we can miss out because his ways are better. His ways are perfect. We're told throughout Scripture, his way is perfect. He does no wrong. Jeremiah 10:23, we're told, he says, Jeremiah, I know, O Lord, that a man's life, a person's life, is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. It's Old Testament. Jeremiah. A man's life is not his own. Our life is not our own. It's not ours to direct our steps. Well, we have great ideas. But we don't know often what's best. Yes, we have a mind, and people say, well, he gave us a brain, we're supposed to use it. Yes, but not to figure stuff out on our own. We're to walk in obedience, and then we use our gifts and everything he's given us as he directs and guides, and we channel that under his guidance and control and direction. We're not out there on our own. And that's so freeing when we realize that and enter into the experience of that. This was brought home to me once back in the 80s. My husband is a builder, was a builder, retired. And we went into a hard time, with the economy, which, you know, it's a roller coaster ride. But before we entered the down, when we were on the up, we lived in Woodmore, and we had a home we'd built out there. And then we got to thinking, we had three small little boys. Well, you know what would be better yet is if we had a ranch. And, oh, we found some beautiful property out east of Monument, and maybe 10 minutes from Woodmore. Farther out east. And, oh, it was beautiful. The view that we had a little stream, a hill. Oh, wonderful. That's what would be best for our family. With our boys, perfect. So we bought an option on that land. Well, then the economy started going down. Things got tighter and tighter. And we had to let that option go. On that property. So then we started thinking, well, now what's plan A and plan B? And we put our house on the market. And then we came up with, well, plan B, this sounds like a good plan. Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll buy this little house that he's building over here. And that'll be great. Didn't sell. Couldn't buy that house. Okay, Lord, well, plan C. How about this one? Came up with another one and started pursuing that. That sounded good to us. Thought, this is right. This sounds good. Didn't sell. Nothing. Finally, plan XYZ was to move downtown. Oh, no. On Tejon, a block and a half north of Uinta. The noise, the sirens going to the hospital, the fire trucks at the station a block away, the traffic, Nevada, Cascade, I-25. Oh, Lord, the ranch. But this is what worked out. And by his grace, amazingly, took care of us in that and had this realtor that found ways where there didn't seem to be a way that we could actually buy a house at that point then. And he was taking amazing care of us in it as we led him. And Then we saw, you know, my husband was a builder then, and when we lived in Woodmore, he was sometimes, the miles he was putting on the car and all the gas. And then sometimes he'd have meetings with clients in the evening, and so he wouldn't come home because he said, well, no sense driving out for dinner and then driving back in, so he'd eat in town, and then the kids were basically in bed when he'd get home. And we think, well, yeah, no, that's not good. But yeah, let's move 10 miles further. So then we found, and then our church was downtown, and then the kids were in Bemis Art School, and oh, that's pretty handy down here. And oh yeah, he could come home for dinner. And you know, Lord, this is nice. Pretty soon we didn't even hear the sirens anymore or the traffic. And because when we moved in, we said to our neighbors, how can you sleep? You know, we came where it was absolutely still and quiet and dark. And they said, you know, what sirens? You know, pretty soon that's what we were saying, what sirens? It was right. It was good. I thought I knew myself so well. I thought I knew what would be best for our family. So did my husband. God knew. And at first I'm saying, what? It was right. And it was good. And then we stayed downtown, you know, for a long time. We love it downtown. Until we just moved. But this was right too. And again, I'm saying, Lord, move. You know, but it's right. He's taking care of us. Oh, it's good. I'm glad he knows us better than we know ourselves. He has the bigger picture. Abandon ourselves to him. We don't have to worry about it. It's so freeing. And, you know, if he has something for us in a very practical way, he protects it. Dwan, you know, shared last week. She shared she's in the midst of a move. They just moved last weekend from up the pass. And they sold their house, didn't have a place to move to, and had 30 days to find it, to get moved, and to have it closed and everything else, because they were moving out, supposedly, on October 10th. About the 1st of October, that they did find a house, and they thought, oh, this is good. They were excited about this. Well, then, suddenly, in an inspection, they found out that it needed a new roof, and it was going to cost thousands of dollars, and the sellers didn't want to pay for that, and they couldn't afford to pay for that, so it looked like the deal was done 10 days before they were supposed to be out of their house. Dwan says, I have amazing peace. God's in control. If we're not to be there, I wouldn't want to be there. If he has somewhere else, he'll show us that. If he's using this to keep us from making a mistake, thank you. It's yours. She had total peace through that whole situation, and it did work out, and they did move in, but she didn't waste time agonizing, being anxious, worrying. She didn't lose sleep over it. It's God's deal. He loves it when we just trust him with all of it. Some of you know that my husband also has heart trouble, and this truth was brought home in such a real way, and many of you know the story, but there are many new ones in here now who do not. But for me, that was a life-changing realization of who the Lord is, because I was one, too, that I always liked to have everything figured out. I didn't like surprises. I wanted to be sure I had all my bases covered. So it spent time making sure of that and make sure I hadn't forgotten anything or overlooked anything. You wouldn't want a surprise now. And one day, my husband was in good shape. He ran. We ate well. He had no family history of heart trouble. But at the age of 41, he had a major heart attack out of the blue. We were surprised, totally. But God wasn't. He knew. So he'd already gone before. I didn't have to have everything figured out. It wasn't mine to do. That's his responsibility. I can rest in that. How I saw that, bear with me through some of these details. My mother had been losing her hearing, and for quite a while had been seeing doctors for and getting different hearing aids and things like that, and they weren't helping, and her hearing was getting worse. So the timing of the discovery, what the real problem was, they discovered that she had a brain tumor. And the brain tumor was growing, and that was cutting off her hearing. So she went in for surgery, and the timing of that surgery was such that my husband and I were to go to Haiti. We were involved with an orphanage down there. And we were getting ready to go there. So we canceled our trip when my mom was going in for the surgery. My mom also had heart trouble. In the surgery, she had some heart complications, and so it looked like maybe she wasn't going to pull through it. So I flew back to be with my mom, and Terry, my husband, took care of our three boys. So when I came, she did fine, and she got better, and the tumor was not malignant, thankfully, and she came through well. So when I got back, Terry was very tired when he picked me up at the airport, and I thought, well, now you know what it's like to take care of three little boys. Maybe a little more appreciation here, you know. So he was very tired. So we had a place in the mountains, and he said, well, if he could just maybe go up there and rest for the weekend, he'd feel better. Well, we didn't have a phone up there. It was before the days of cell phones. This was 83. And he thought, you know, I think I'm even too tired to drive up there. And so he stayed home to rest. And that afternoon, he thought, well, I'm going to go walk down in Monument Valley. And I haven't, you know, maybe get some exercise a little bit. He did, and then was thirsty, couldn't walk far. So he went over to 7-Eleven to get some bottled water. And while he was there, he was looking at the magazines, and he saw Runner's World magazine on the shelf. He said, you know, it's been a long time since I've read a Runner's World magazine, so I think I'll get this and read it while I go home and rest, which he did. And in that issue of Runner's World, there was an article, Symptoms of a Heart Attack. And in there was a symptom that neither of us had known about, and that was the one that saved his life that night. And it was that of purple fingernails, that the oxygen is being cut off. And he didn't have some of the other symptoms, and he got sick in the night. We'd gone for Mexican food and to a movie with the kids to see Gandhi and back, and in the night he woke up terribly sick. He thought it was food poisoning. And I always like to make sure that you all know we went out to dinner. And I was So he got sick, and I kept saying, shouldn't I take you to the hospital? And he kept saying, no, I'll be fine by the morning. Well, then, as he continued to get more and more sick, he looked at his fingernails, and they were purple. And he said, you better take me to the hospital. She did, and they said if we had waited 2 more hours, he wouldn't have made it. God was in control. If we're to be here, I really believe he is God of our lives. And he will take care of us. Lead us with doctors. Lead us in practical things. Take care of us. And then when it is our time to go with him, to be with him, walks through that valley with us, taking care of us. It's his. That was helpful. Since then, he's had 2 open heart surgeries. The first one, he had 5 bypasses. The second one, he had 3 bypasses. And then 2 years ago, he had a stent put in. He still has trouble. He has congestive heart failure. I think, it's God's. And I don't have to figure stuff out. And that night when he had his heart attack and I sat in the hospital in the middle of the night by myself, I knew that God was with me. He knew. And if something was going to happen and I was left with these three little boys, the Lord would take care of me. He's my good shepherd. One night when we were at our place in the mountains a few years ago, he was having heart trouble in the night. And we were about 30 minutes from a hospital from Salida, and then, you know, about almost 2 hours down here to the Springs. And so in this day he hadn't felt well, and the night it was getting worse. He was having increasing chest pain. And he thought, he didn't know if he was going to have to go to the hospital in the night. And it was more severe than usual. So he got the truck out and he backed it right up to the front of the cabin there. And so we'd be ready to go out the drive if we needed to. And he put the keys right there on the table so we could grab them quickly. And so we were all set to make our exit if that was necessary. So I start laying there awake, and I'm thinking, well, are we going to have to go or we aren't? Should we go to Salida? Should we go to the Springs? What are we going to do with the dog if I have to be with him in the hospital? You know, and I'm starting to figure all this out, and we're starting to be anxious about it. And then what do we do? And when do I, you know, should I call the kids? And so on and so forth. Way down the road with what ifs. And then I thought, I don't have to worry about any of this. It's God's. He knows, and then at the time, he will show me what to do. He will lead me. I don't have to figure all this out. I'm losing sleep. I don't have to. I can go to sleep and let it be God's, which then I did, and we didn't have to go. And I thought, I could have stewed all night, lost sleep, been anxious, and Jesus says, which one of you can add 1 hour to your life by worrying and being anxious about things? He says, don't worry. Trust him with it. So, it's very freeing. It's exciting. Now, it doesn't mean that nothing bad is going to happen. And sometimes he leads us into pastures, and Hannah Whitall Smith pointed it out in her book, that it doesn't feel like, you know, that these are good pastures. They're rocky. You know, I've struggled with the Lord. Well, you know, Lord, did you betray me, leading me into this pasture? I wouldn't call it a pasture. And I don't like it. But then she says, but we then see that those sometimes are the best for us. And I must admit that it's in those rocky pastures that he has done some of the deepest work and best work and has drawn me closer to himself. Those were the best pastures. So I open myself to all he has for me in it. Until then, he leads us on out to the next, trusting him. When we were in Haiti once, we were at Mother Teresa's home for the dying, and there was a dear nun there, Sister Gladys, and I will never forget her. She had a profound impact on me. She was getting ready to return to the States after having been down there a long time. And so I was saying, well, you know, what are you going to do then? She says, God knows. Where are you going to live? God knows. Every question, you know, and it was true. He would lead her. He'd take care of her. She didn't have to worry and figure it all out. Now, we continue to seek him. It's not that we ignore him and don't even think. We have a need. We ask, Lord, what would you have me do? We follow him. We seek his leading. And as he leads, we obey. So we say, Lord, in this situation, are there steps you have for me to take? If he leads us, then we are obedient. He gives us strength to take those steps or do whatever is necessary. He goes before us in it, prepares the way, fulfills his purposes. It's not ours. So we ask, we seek, then we obey, and he's faithful. It's so easy. And what else Smith says, you know, it's easy to trust and entrust ourselves to him when the one whom we are entrusting ourselves to is so trustworthy. That's what makes the difference. That's what frees us from fear in it. We're short on time. You know, our son, we have these concerns. Our son, you know, as we're talking about releasing and abandoning our cares and concerns to him, our oldest son, Scott, is always a burden on my heart. You know, he's been one who struggled and it hurts and was in a painful marriage, a difficult marriage, and is now just gone through the pain of divorce and lives in West Palm Beach. And he's pulled. He has a heart for the Lord, but he loves the world, and he's our prodigal in many ways. And I ache for him. And I've prayed for years for him. And he's doing well. He's got a good job now and managing a restaurant and doing well, getting on his feet, still struggling. And I so long and pray for him to abandon himself to the Lord, to really desire the things of the Lord first, to give himself to them and let the Lord care for him and lead him and give him the peace that he so longs for. So one time the Lord showed me, I need to let God out of the box where Scott's concerned. As I'm praying, I have all these parameters, you know, that I'm keeping God in the box. Okay, now you can do this, you can do that, but not that, you know. And he said, let me out of the box. That's kind of scary. Till you know that he's really good, and he knows what he's doing. His ways are perfect, even when we don't understand. So I let him out of the box. And he showed me that one day I will praise him. He is working his purposes. So every time I start to get anxious, give him back to the Lord. That's our red flag, that things have become ours, that we haven't released it. Yes, we pray. That's our responsibility. But then we let it be God's. And that feels good. Praise him. God, you are in control. Thank you that you are the good shepherd that seeks after the strays, brings back the lost. Thank you that you are at work now because you love him more than I do. So, and I'm enlisting, you know, prayers here. Pray for Scott. it's our job to pray, and then we leave it. So I was thinking, well, what do I need to do? Well, maybe I can do this to help him, and maybe I can do that to help him. Lord, do you have for me to do something? If not, no. I'll be obedient. You show me. You guide. Oswald Chambers says, one of the greatest strains in life is the strain of waiting on God. Yes. It's hard. Sometimes we get frustrated and we want to get in there then and take control ourselves. Well, God, you haven't come through. I guess it's up to me. And we miss out. We miss out on so much when we take charge and become impatient. He says, one day we will praise him when we see what he does. Excuse me. There's fears, and I know I need to wrap up here. The enemy feeds us while we're waiting and praying. The enemy feeds us lies that God doesn't care, that he's not faithful, that he isn't involved, that he's abandoned them or us. He's forsaken us. We have to hang on to truth. He says, I will never forsake you. Never. He is faithful all the time. I'm afraid our needs won't be met. excuse me, I guess this is up here. I'm used to covering up the microphone down here. Don't know how to do that with this. excuse me. We're afraid that our needs won't be met. Okay, God will work his big purposes for my life, but my needs, I need to take care of that myself. It has been my biggest joy to see the Lord take care of my needs. Again, knowing me better than I know myself. Providing a protected time when I need it. And he knows when I truly need it. Of even little things, of shopping. There were things which, you know, I hesitate even mentioning, but you know, when we were doing this house, Lord, this is something, you know, show me what you have. And now I can look at some things there and with delight, look at how the Lord did that. Delight. Here we have this little lamb. And this is who we are to the Lord. Do you think there's any way he would not take care of us? He's the good shepherd. He takes care of every need. He meets our needs and through his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He is faithful and he delights to delight us. He delights to show us how big he is, how sovereign, how in control. He says, take each step through your day with me as your shepherd. Or we can be afraid that what we want to happen won't happen. So that's why we think, oh no, I can't give that up to God. What I want might not happen. So then we have to ask ourselves, do we really want something that God would not want for us? Bottom line. And if we do, that our will is the stronghold of our being. And Hannah Whitall Smith talks about that's what we need to die to self in, our will. Release our will. Die, give that up. But Hannah Whitall Smith in the lesson says, we're not to be left willless. Instead, we receive the will of God, Jesus in us. His will, that's strong. We walk in strength in the power of the will of God. In his purposes, as he leads us. United, one will, not in opposition, my will, his will. United. Union. Walking with that, in that way, with him as our shepherd. I had other things that Hannah Whitall Smith has written that we don't have time to read, which I'm sorry about. She writes in here of the shepherd. She talks in here about his responsibility to us as our good shepherd. It's impossible to imagine a good shepherd forgetting or forsaking his sheep. In fact, it's his duty to watch over them and care for them in all circumstances. The God who is revealed to us as the good shepherd must necessarily be as faithful to his responsibilities as an earthly shepherd is to his. His care of us may be hidden care, but is nonetheless real, and all things in the daily events of our lives are made to work subservient to his gracious purposes. He may seem to have forgotten or neglected us, but can never be. It would be impossible for the God who is revealed to us in the face of Jesus to do such a thing. He says then that we are to the shepherd's care. Some of that you had in your lesson. Abandon ourselves to the care of the shepherd. They have nothing to do but trust him and follow him. Seek him. Obey. Follow. So we're bid to entrust ourselves to him, abandon ourselves, as the widow did with her mite. She was abandoning herself to his care in an act of love, giving him her all, everything, not holding anything back. Mary, who poured the ointment over her, lavishly abandoned herself to him. And gave to him. It delighted him. So much so it's recorded, it's that everywhere the story will be told of her. It delights his heart. To yield, to entrust, Hannah Whitall Smith, I'll just read maybe one of these, to entrust ourselves to his care. She says it's like trusting means that when we have yielded or given ourselves to the Lord, then we have perfect confidence that he will manage us in everything concerning us exactly right. And we consequently leave the whole care and managing in his hands. She goes on to talk about it's like putting money in a bank, and we entrust that money to the bank. It's like entrusting ourselves to the Lord, taking our hands off. Is there something today that you're grasping, clutching, hanging on to yourself, something you want to happen, a person? Release all to him and into his care. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We know to whom we are committing these. He is faithful. He is our good shepherd. So today, he asks us to give him ourselves without reserve. If you feel resistance or reservation or hesitancy, talk to him about that. He knows what's going on in us, and he will meet us there. Meet us in those fears. Ask him to conform our will to his, that we want anything else. And like that widow and the mite brought that to the treasury, and he knew and he saw and it delighted him. So he desires us, and very symbolically, to put in here whatever it is we've been carrying, whatever burden, whatever fear, our future, ourselves, everything concerning us. Put it all in here. Abandon ourselves to him. The results are joy and peace and knowing him better. This is his heart. He is the good shepherd. He's the faithful one, and he will take care of us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you bid us to freely give ourselves to you wholeheartedly, without reserve, to abandon ourselves to you and to your care. Thank you that you covenant with us to be our good shepherd, to take care of our needs, to lead us in the ways that are best for us. Thank you that you can be no other way. Thank you that you set us free. Thank you that you give us joy and peace as we walk with you in this, with you as our shepherd. So, Lord, we give to you those things that we've been carrying. We give ourselves to you as a gift of love and trust. Thank you for your delight as we do that. Thank you for your promise that you will never leave us, fail us, or forsake us. Thank you that you are who you say you are, and it delights you to be all that you are to us. And we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.